Shall we pray? Our Father and our Lord, we commend ourselves in your hands, Father, and we pray that our fellowship, our communion, the intentions of our heart, our thoughts, will be acceptable before you and a blessing to everyone. For we pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Three weeks ago, when I was leading, we introduced to you Dr. Ken Elliott as part of Open Doors Ministry. And we mentioned to you at the time, and I am going to do it again for the sake of those who were not here, that he is a Christian doctor, a surgeon, and he has been in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is a country in the middle of Africa, very close to Chad. And he was adopted 7 years ago by the Islamic extremist group, Al-Qaeda. And he was taken there for 7 years and he was released. And he's now 88. He was released this year. And he was guilty of helping people, helping the poor. And he was a surgeon, and he was known in Burkina Faso for 40 years of service that he gave to the community there. So have this story in mind, because at the end I will show you his response in a video clip. He is a very soft-spoken person, so probably you will have to listen carefully to what he's saying. And when he was questioned by a journalist here in Australia regarding his faith in God, and people might say or argued that God abandoned him in time of need, and how he responded. So we're going to relate that story to today's Bible reading, as Zari has read for us. So basically, 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, is giving us instructions, the whole book, on how to follow Jesus in a world that is hostile to us. Peter gives instructions on holy living for those suffering persecution. So the whole book of 1 Peter is because of that. Okay. This passage, 1 Peter, this particular one, clearly speaks on suffering for doing good. It goes all the way to the fifth chapter, but today we are going to deal with chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Let us see what Peter means by suffering for doing good. It is a paradox, isn't it? How can we suffer from doing good? It doesn't make sense, isn't it? I am going to approach today's reading on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, by providing first a general idea, so you know where we are going. I am telling you this so we know where we are going. Secondly, I will analyze verse 13 to 18. And thirdly and last, I will challenge you to respond to that. They may land us. So the general idea of this passage is when bad things happen to good people. That's the general idea. On the other hand, when something bad happens to someone who is bad, we should not be surprised. We should expect to suffer if we do evil to others. On the other hand, we should not be surprised if good people do bad things or evil things. We should not be surprised. I will explain to you now why. For example, the German police during the Second World War. Most of the German police at the time, they were family people, that they were doing their jobs in Germany, and they stayed in Germany. They didn't go to the war, they stayed there because they were policemen. So when the Nazi advanced to Russia, they left behind a lot of Jewish people, including women and children. And they didn't want to leave behind them. They wanted to annihilate them. So what they did was they went to the German police and they trained them to do that. And they were given a choice. You can do it or you can stay and don't do it. So they were good people. And all of them say, yes, we will do it, because they were afraid, they were scared. Oh, if I say no, what they are going to think of me? They are going to think I am a coward, or they are going to damage my family. So they all say yes, and they were good people. So they went to the front, and the job was to kill the babies, the children, and the women, Jewish people. And they couldn't handle. They were vomiting. They just couldn't handle. So they were taken back. They were good people, and they were doing evil things. So the Ukrainians took over. And that job was given to the Ukrainian people to do that, as you already know if you are familiar with the war, Second War. So, for example, as I already said, the moral of the story here is that good people, including Christians, are able to do evil things. We are able to do evil things, including bad things happen when good people do nothing. By doing nothing is a way of doing something. Are you with me? So if you can stop an evil thing to happen and you don't do it, it is a way of you doing something by doing nothing. So that is also when good people can do evil things. James reminds us that if we know how to do good and we don't do it, it is taken as a sin. As it is in James chapter 4, verse 7. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So James tells us quite clearly, if you know how to do good things and you don't do it, it is a sin. You are sinning. Another example is Pastor Martin Niemöller. He was a German theologian, a pastor, a Lutheran pastor. He is best known for his opposition to the Nazi regime during the late 1930s and for his wild quote in 1946 poem, First They Came. Niemöller is perhaps best remembered for the quotation, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not one of them. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." So you are a good person. You do nothing. You are doing something. You are supporting evil by doing nothing. This is a good example on how good people can suffer because good people do nothing. The logical thinking is if we do good, then good should be paid back to us in return. That's how we tend to think. And in most cases, this is what happens most of the time. However, Peter is warning us of the realities of this world, as those who are not in Christ may come against us in harsh ways, as we Roger reminded to us this morning. Peter is basically telling us that bad things happen to good people and we must not blame God. God is upset about it too. The other aspect to this passage is the reality that Christ, as our example, did not fight back. When something bad happens, we tend to quickly resort to lawsuits, and sometimes if it's physical actions to pay them back. Sometimes we wish we were a serial killer and kill those who did wrong to us. But our call is not to pay back evil with evil. As simple as that. Most cultures and people see this attitude as indicative of weakness and helplessness. But God sees it as a display of trusting in Him and as displaying real strength with humility and self-control. By being gentle, when someone is challenging us with words, deeds, threats, or abuse, we show Christ. Might help diffuse, and also it might help to diffuse the situation and make a huge impact for those who need an example to follow and to know Christ, as it is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Now, this is the general idea. Now, let's go to analyze verse 13 to 18. Life has taught us that suffering is always present. Wherever we go, suffering is always present. Everything suffers. The emphasis of First Peter is not on answering why we suffer. Peter is not telling you this is the reason why you suffer. He's not telling us that. He knows that we are all going to suffer. But rather, how we can live through it. He's giving us tools to get through suffering. This is the message of Peter. So Peter is not telling us why we suffer. He's giving us tools how we can get through. There is a glory to pursue in life greater than our desires and emotions. And that is how we can grow closer to God and make Him known to others around us. Therefore, we need not fear and worry. Rather, we should pray, prepare, and trust God. And believe me, sometimes it is hard to do that. But once you make a choice to do it, you will see the benefit. You will see the value. You will see the blessing. Let us see what we can learn from this passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Let's see what we can learn from this. Let us dissect, metaphorically speaking, this passage. When Christians are suffering for doing good, Peter had a much more satisfying answer for us. He reminds us that God's eyes and concern are on us. His eyes and his concern are on the righteous one. Normally, good things happen to good people. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Who is going to hurt you if you are willing to do good? But there are unusual cases when you do good and suffer for it. Very unusual case, but it happens, as it is in verse 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. What is surprising is Peter's statement that if this happened to you, you are blessed. I don't get it. I just scratch my head. I don't get it. Peter explained, he told us how to react if something bad happens to us. If we have been doing good in verse 14 to 18, Peter basically is saying this. I made a summary in my mind of five things he's saying. Number one, do not fear their threats or be frightened. Number two, remember that Jesus is Lord. Number three, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the peace you have or the hope you have in Christ. Be ready to do it. Number four, keep a clear conscience. Just make sure that you are doing the right thing. Number five, remember, for it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. It is nice to know how to react when something bad happens to us. But it does not explain why bad things happen. Peter is telling us, this is how you react. But he doesn't explain to us why it happens. So Peter gave an answer, a reason why if this happens to you, you are blessed. And I am still have difficulty accepting this. But in God's way, obedience out of faith is very important. It is essential. That's why the Bible is a book full of faith. If you take the word faith from the Bible, it's no Bible anymore. And faith is when you trust him and you are obedient to him. Peter reminded us that Jesus suffered too. Surely this is the greatest injustice. The suffering of Jesus in the cross is an example of bad things happening to someone good. So this is the best example we can have. He's a good man, and he did suffer for doing good. And yet, all this happening according to God's will. Do you understand now? He was suffering because it was God's will for him to suffer. And through the injustice of Christ's suffering, our Lord brought us to God. Because of that injustice, a good man suffering, now we have the door open. And God accepts us out of grace. Verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. What a blessing. Made alive in the spirit. What a blessing. What a blessing. This is God's word to you and me when we suffer unjustly. The Lord hasn't forgotten us. It seems to me according to God's word, then when bad things happen to God's good people, we can be certain that God knows. And we can be certain that out of the evil, God will bring some good and a blessing. Our personal application is to remember that bad things happen to good people, to us Christians, that through suffering, blessings may come. As the blessing came to us because Jesus did suffer in the cross. Now, this is the third part to challenge mainlanders, to challenge you. Now, remember this morning when Roya brought to us through the missionary spot our three brothers in Iran, the Kenya pastor that he was burned, and the chaplain. He is suffering. He's seen friends and soldiers being killed. He's suffering. So remember that. And this is the question. How do you display, you mainlanders and me, of course, how do we display the wonder of his love and grace in our daily life? What do we do? How do we react? How do you react when someone at the school, at work, at community hurts you? What is your first reaction? How do you hope in him, worship him, and allow him to be your leader? What you say, how you say it, what you do, and how you do it will witness or will belittle Jesus Christ. So what you do, if you say you claim you are a Christian, be careful what you do in those situations. Because you will bless Christ, you will honor Christ, or you will do totally the opposite. We are called to be ready to explain our life in Christ. However, if we argue, we demean or belittle our Lord, who himself did not argue when he was persecuted. I have been in many, many, many church council meetings, school board meetings, and other Christians' meeting ministries. And believe me, it does not look good when people argue for anything. When we argue, it puts the other person on the defensive, and they do not listen. Therefore, they do not learn. Our efforts of evangelism will not only be wasted, but it could also have a negative effect, doing more harm than good. We are called to respect, listen, and be gentle and firm, so the real gospel message goes out from us, not only in how we are, but also in how and what we say. Another example I can provide you is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he suffered for doing good as Christ did. Bonhoeffer was a German theologian, born in 1906. He was a pastor. He was executed by the Germans because he stood against Hitler. He was executed by hanging by the end of the war in the 9th of April in 1945. He was only 39 at the time of his death. He has written many books on discipleship. Most of my personal beliefs about Christian education and the way I was shaped to do a ministry in Christian education came from this man. I read all his book, and I could understand many things, what it means to be part of a Christian community. So he influenced me a lot. He wrote about the Christian community and how we should live. And of course, the Bible. He understood what it means to suffer for Christ. He walked the talk. He's suffering for doing good. And he died for Christ. Never a filthy word came from his mouth. To the point that the people who were there in jail with him, the guards, they just loved him. And that's difficult, isn't it? To love a prisoner. Most of the time prisoners are there because they are bad people. But they just loved him. And they just have to execute him because of order. Peter is explaining to us, Melandas, that suffering and salvation and suffering and glory goes together. So basically, as we read through this, he's telling us suffering and salvation and suffering and glory goes together. It is better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing wrong. Finally, Melandas, we know that sooner or later suffering will come, and we know that when it happens, God will give us peace and perseverance to go through it. The question for us today is, when suffering comes because of Christ, will I really walk the talk? This is the challenge for us today. To do in secret what we do in public. It does not matter how odd we might appear to the world. We must follow Jesus' leading. Even if they mock us. His word and his ways is best. Ken Elliott answered the question presented to him by the journalist. How come the Lord did not seem to help you in your time of need? I have to say that journalist was very gentle in answering, in asking this question. How come your God did not seem to help you in your time of need? And listen to his response. As already said, he's soft spoken, and we might have difficulty in listening to him. And may we be encouraged by his answer. Basically, Ken said that the Lord was always with him, and God never abandoned him. Now, think of him, and think of today's Bible reading, and the points I made before. That it seems to me that Ken Elliott did what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, he's counseling us to do. It seems to me that he did that. He didn't fear the threats, or he was not frightened. He remembered Jesus as Lord. He was ready to give an answer. He kept a clear conscience. And so have in mind these things. What he's going to say. So, are we ready to see? You forgive me if I tell you to put the volume to the top. Thank you. When you're ready.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But no, I just didn't go along with it. I wouldn't have converted, and I wouldn't pretend to. Lord's been good to me, and I don't want to dishonour him by even pretending to be a Muslim.
I mean, some people listening to that experience would say, well, the Lord didn't seem to be doing you any favours for this period of your life. Did you feel any time that he'd abandoned you?
Never. No, he didn't. No, he was always there. Yeah.
So, basically, he trusted the Lord. And this is a good example that it can be done. And you see him, you say, oh, this is a very fragile man. He seems to be weak. He cannot cope with life. And yet, Jesus gave him the strength to be a strong man because he had obedience to Christ. So I hope that today's preaching will encourage us in difficult times when we go through in our lives that we feel that we have been unjustly treated, and will help us to persevere in our walk with Jesus Christ, in what we do, how we do it, what we say, and our walk will reflect our talk. So shall we pray? Our Father, we confess that we have nothing but your grace. We have nothing but the cross. Father, we confess that we sometimes become angry and hurt so easily when we think of ourselves, when we are unjustly treated. Father, guide us when we don't know what to do, that we take all adversity with goodwill and with a gentle mind to be able to overcome wrong, the wrong done to us. Father, may our actions and thoughts and the things that we do in secret bring a smile to your face and a blessing to those who we meet. For we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.